physically, now I'm an old man, but I was then physically a box in strength.
Yeah.
I rather could go out there, work as a farm worker. That was the only thing that I was permitted to do, because a man with a family story like this, where his whole family is behind enemy lines,
sure.
Of course, naturally, a man who cannot get a job.
Sure.
I understood that fully, and I want to say that nobody could have been more decent and objective than the FBI was with me. This is an unbelievable story, and they were so kind that I had to tell them, if I were sitting on the other side of the desk, I would be tougher, because you can't look into my soul. I could be a traitor. I could be a spy, and you don't know that. And they were so extraordinarily nice and human. This was one of the deepest reasons for my total inner attachment to the United States. You know, when you are powerless.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
then you know what other people are. You will never know it later, but you are powerful. People will try to play up to you. But when one has no power, then one can judge other people's humanity.
We are now in a position.
Continue as it did before with terrorism, assassination, and so on. 32 days of ceasefire, they will not observe the ceasefire.
Mm.
But there's a pretext that they were unable
to get
the words in. Now, we all must know that for 2 days, the other side will not really observe the ceasefire, except the state forces. Now, this is absolutely clear from their directives. And the other thing, Mr. President, again, a tactical aim. Now, I assume you make the great policy. I can only speak about the tactical. Is the supervision international? Let's say 5,000, 7,000 Venezuelans, Swedes, Austrians, or whoever's in there. If they come 2 or 3 weeks later, it's too late. In the meantime, many things can have happened. So another tactical aim might be simultaneity of the ceasefire and of the supervision. Now, this is a very difficult logistic problem, because to get the people in, you will have the ceasefire later. But where is the rush? On our side, very probably not, because I'm sure, Mr. President, you have the conviction that whatever may decide these elections here at home, it will not be on the Vietnam issue.
Oh.
There we go. Why the rush? There's no rush.
No. We must. We've said what we said. We must do what is right. If we can do what is right early, let's do it. If it requires later, we will do it later. But the most important thing is to do what is right and in our interest of everybody concerned. That's all we can say.
We have used the elections not because, not in order to support the president, but in order to run up the other side against the deadline we could not change. In the past, we've always had a situation where when we gave a deadline, they'd make a concession just before the deadline, and then we have to change it. This time, we have a deadline that they cannot change. Probably it will not get settled before the election, incidentally, so we're not talking about
that. That would be good, because we're not letting
them think that it
is. We are leaving it vague whether it will or not, in order to get the maximum of concessions out of it before the election.
Basically, from a political standpoint, in this country, we would prefer not to have 330 before the election.
And Mr. President,
what we do,
be sure of one thing: the enemy will not understand your psychology and therefore make a beautiful mistake. They will think in their terms of brutal men, and therefore think that the very moment you have been re-elected, you will then be a terrible tiger there by the tail. Now, we know that your interests are of a more humanitarian nature, but they won't know that. They won't believe it.
Well, we don't. We're not going to let them believe that.
Yeah, but it's good to say.
Yeah, that's my point. That's my point. We mustn't let them feel that. That's one of the reasons why I think there's something to be said to let them guess that immediately after the election, with no restraints, I might do some rather rash things.
Our difficulty, Kramer, has been not that we have made concessions before the election. Our difficulty has been to think up demands which could protract it beyond the election, because every demand we make, they meet within 24 hours. So we are literally running out of proposals we can make to them.
That it's a proposal that they should withdraw from
South. But we've made that now. But we've made the proposal, for example, that their prisoners have to stay in South Vietnamese jails. 40,000 political prisoners should stay in South Vietnamese jails, which we thought was unacceptable.
And
they have now accepted that their families stay in South Vietnamese jails. Now, you know that this is not an easy thing for them to sign a document in which they release our prisoners, have to release South Vietnamese military prisoners, but all civilian prisoners stay in jail.
Do they perhaps think that the ceasefire is such an advantage for them, for the psychological reason that they are more disciplined, more homogeneous than they can be?
I think they are terrible, but I think there's the other factor, which I see them never mind. We never want to obviously underestimate these, what you call, and I agree, or whatever.
feel that you should speak, push them instead of blessing them.
No,
because they
but
have
this was, no, no.
So they
no, no. We are talking about two different theories.
Yeah, yeah.
Until October 8th, our strategy was just to waste as much time as possible. Then they suddenly started making decisions with such a that it was, I think, impossible for us almost to think up demands
right.
to slow them down.
We,
for example, we asked for a ceasefire in Cambodia, and they accepted that within 36 hours. Now, just giving you...
Now, their power is somewhat limited in Cambodia because they're the Chinese.
They say that, but we can have
a majority. Laos, what about Laos?
That's guaranteed.
But who will be physically on the ground?
Well, we have a commission. I personally believe that for their own reasons, we talked to Tuvan Kuma, who after all is intelligent. We saw him, he said, ils sont écrasés, ils sont tout à fait battus. After he saw...
That's a very strong...
For him?
He's very intelligent.
Now, you know that Tuvana is not a man who doesn't understand the situation.
No.
And he said, ils sont tout à fait battus, ils sont écrasés.
They have some. For that reason, I mean, they probably are the ones who should come more to us.
Let me say that after all this long ordeal is hundreds and through, and not speaking in personal terms, but the 4 years we've been through, we stood up hundreds of thousands of demonstrators, the whole establishment in this country. The most respected so-called journalist, commentator, college professor, etc., etc., etc. The ministries and the businessmen, as usual, silent. What about all the support we really had in this period? Fortunately, it shows the country still has some guts. Except for isolated people in all of these that I have just mentioned. Those are always some exceptions. But the support primarily came from what people of your intellectual background and interest consider to be, well, just little bug animals, because their education is what's good. The workers, the ethnics, the farmers, the southerners. The further you get away from Washington, the more support. But what I'm getting at is this, having gone through all that, we are not now, we cannot now, we will not now do something with an election coming up that would mean that 55,000 Americans die for nothing. And beyond that, that is one thing. Men cannot just die for honor. They do, I mean, but not these days. But beyond that, we cannot give to America's foreign policy a blow, a dagger in the heart, and it would lead to death around the world if we sink these people now. So we're doing everything we can. The reason we've been so tough with them, aren't we, at the Vietnamese, and will continue to be, to get the right kind of to go with that, even though Cuba is very difficult at times, is that we want the right kind of a settlement. We have to make a determination as to whether we think it's right. We cannot allow him to be the sole judge of that because he doesn't have, he's too close to it. We take into account what he has to say. But my own view is that we fought a pretty good fight up to this point.
States ever deal successfully, because this entity of 21 million, supported by the Soviets, by China, but not by their manpower, except engineer rather, is relatively so small that everybody from Rio de Janeiro to Copenhagen and from Hanoi to Moscow can draw the conclusion. Obviously, the enormous American power couldn't deal with this. Ergo, as a lawyer, I would say deduction de majore ad minus, or de minore ad minus. If they cannot deal with Vietnam, with whom can they deal from? There lies the real strategy.
That's why the foreign policy of the United States is on the line here. That's why it's always been. That's why when we, how easy it would have been politically to flush the whole thing in January the 20th, 1969.
There lies your real strategic.
That's why, as we examine what we're doing, I really feel that we're, with those conditions in mind, that we're meeting that challenge. Of course, right now, we don't know where. We shall see what the North says, what the South says.
Only French officers. Nobody except one Danish prince ever became
distinguished visitors get these, this is a new presidential complex with the seal and that. Only for people that work more than 8 hours a day, have a title book, and with a little CQ. I think you must have a remarkable son, too, from what I hear. That is good.